O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. In your resurrection, O Christ, let heaven and earth rejoice. Alleluia. O God, you summon the day to dawn. You teach the morning to waken the earth. Great is your name. Great is your love. For you the valleys will sing for joy, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Great is your name. Great is your love. To you the monarchs of earth shall bow. The poor and the persecuted shall shout for joy. Great is your name. Great is your love. Your love and justice shall last forever. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. Great is your name. Great is your love. Welcome, everybody, to our service, our morning worship service for today, the fifth Sunday of Easter. It's good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. Before we carry on, just to remind everybody that on Wednesday this week at 7 o'clock, there is a Bible study on Zoom, and we're looking at the Psalms. For any more information, do get in touch with Kate and she'll get back to you. It's good to see things are opening up a little bit, isn't it? Not just we're starting to meet a little bit more and get out a little bit more, and that's really, really good. So we're going to carry on now with our service by joining in with the hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven and Voices Raising.
Thank you.
we come to our time of confession now. Before we pray, shall we take a moment just to reflect on the last week and the things that we want to bring personally before our Lord and Saviour? We say together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord according to John, chapter 15. I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does not bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they are burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish, and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
I heard a snippet on the news this week that said there's currently a shortage of waiters. As we're coming out of lockdown, the hospitality sector is starting to get back on its feet. Because of the restrictions, eating at restaurants can only be done outdoors, and there needs to be waiter-waitress service. And apparently, there's a shortage. Oddly, there was a similar sort of shortage 2,000 years ago in the early church. That's strange, isn't it? Jesus had ascended to heaven, and he left his followers and told them to go and share the good news. That meant the 11 apostles who remained, plus Matthias, who was the one chosen to replace Judas. The apostles were on fire. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they went and they taught the people. But there was a problem. A good problem, indeed an excellent problem. There were so many converts to the Christian faith, there was so much going on, that the apostles couldn't cope. For as well as the teaching, the proclaiming the gospel, there was all the social stuff that needed to be looked at as well. Caring for widows and orphans, organising the food banks of the first century. So the apostles got everybody together, the regular congregation, the disciples, and they asked them to choose seven men who would be able to do some of the practical things. It was a congregation, the regular people, who chose, just as in a few weeks we're going to be choosing our new PCCs. Actually, you know, in this country today, there is a shortage of ordained ministry. People going into the ordained ministry has gone down. The numbers have gone down. And yet the number of churches remain the same. So we still need our congregations to look out, to find those who can lead, those who can volunteer. Look around your churches for those who are full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. One of the seven men chosen was a man called Philip, and it's his story we hear today. The next thing we hear about Philip was that he was in Samaria. The church in Jerusalem had been persecuted and lots of the believers were scattered around. Philip was in Samaria, and that in itself is a fascinating thing. Remember, the Samaritans and the Jews were not exactly the best of friends. In the story of the Good Samaritan, one of the things that really hit home to those listening to the story was the fact that the man who helped was a Samaritan, the least likely person. Yet when Philip was there, wonderful things were happening. Many were healed, evil spirits were banished. Many paid close attention to what Philip was saying and accepted the word of the Lord. It says in the scriptures that there was great joy in that city. Now imagine how wonderful that would be, being at the centre of a great Christian revival, people coming to faith, wanting to learn more about Jesus, meeting together to pray, to have fellowship, to have teaching, people being baptised. Wouldn't you want to be part of that as a Christian? So encouraging, so uplifting. And yet in the middle of all this, God leads Philip away. Away from the action to a desert road going down from Jerusalem to Gaza. I wonder what Philip thought about that. Maybe he wasn't very impressed. Ah, God, why didn't you let me stay a little bit longer and enjoy what's going on in Samaria? I could be really useful there. I could help with the teaching. I could help with the baptizing. I could help with all the practical stuff. But God had other plans. So Philip finds himself on this desert road where he meets an Ethiopian. Now at that time, Ethiopia wasn't the country that we know today. It was probably much further south, Egypt, Sudan, around where Aswan is. And this Ethiopian wasn't a run-of-the-mill, ordinary Ethiopian. This Ethiopian was the Rishi Sunak of the Ethiopian court. This was the man who held the purse strings for the queen of the Ethiopians. It says in the reading, Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. But Candace was not a name of a person, it was a title. This Ethiopian was an important person. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship. We don't know why. And here he was in his chariot, reading from what we know as the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And this is what he was reading. This version's from the Message. He was reading, "He was beaten. He was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried. He was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man." So Philip comes up to this man, sees what he's reading, and he starts with a question. Do you understand what you're reading? He doesn't start to share his faith. He doesn't start to talk about God. Do you understand what you're reading? When the man says no, it affords him an opportunity to explain. I wonder what you would have said. Maybe you feel that you're unqualified to have said anything. But I know that you know what this man was reading was about the lamb being slaughtered, and about Jesus being the Lamb of God. And you and I would have been able to say a little something about that. Enough to get the man thinking a little bit more. So often we feel that we're so inadequate, don't we? And yet God takes a little bit that we have and somehow he can use it in the lives of other people. So do be encouraged. Remember the story of the little boy who gave his loaves and his fish, and Jesus was able to take it and feed 5,000 men, plus all the women and children. Be encouraged. Whatever you say can be used. And this man goes on and is baptized by the roadside, goes on his way, a changed man. Meanwhile, Philip goes to Caesarea, and there he eventually makes his home, and many years later he entertains Paul the Apostle. So, not everyone gets to share the gospel with somebody who is famous or recognised as he did. But last year, some people did. I had a text asking me to pray for two people who were caring for Boris Johnson when he had COVID. Now remember, Boris Johnson was very ill at the time. And whatever your politics, he needed our prayers. Two of the people looking after him were Christians. And they asked if we might pray that an opportunity would afford itself whereby they could just say a word in season. Because sitting down and, of course, sharing in their professional capacity wouldn't be possible. And later, I had other texts to say that indeed the Prime Minister had been spoken to in some way. And in fact, he'd been given a copy of the New Testament. If you look at the Prime Minister's Easter message for this year, you can find it on YouTube, and you'll see that there he mentions the importance of Easter to Christians. It was something that somebody was able to do. The Archbishop of Canterbury is encouraging all of us to be simpler, bolder and humbler in our faith. Let's listen as Philip did. Remember, he was a member of an early church congregation. He was faithful in the little things. He was the sort of person who maybe worked in the background, but God called him. And he ended up having a whole story, a whole chapter in the Bible. We might not lead waiters to serve at tables in the same way as restaurants do, but churches definitely still need people to serve. So do look out in your church. Look out in your church for people who you think might be a leader, someone who is full of wisdom, someone who is wanting to serve God, and pray for that person. And as you pray for them, maybe, just maybe, you are on their list and they're praying for you too. Amen. We join together now in the words of the Creed. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us be still and remember God's presence with us now. Heavenly Father, we pray for your church that it might always provide a firm foundation upon which we can build our lives. We especially pray for Christians who are persecuted for their faith and give thanks that we are privileged to worship freely here in Bredsall, Morley and Smalley. We give thanks for all those who minister to us, using their diverse gifts for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those in this country and throughout the world who are working in difficult situations, especially in those parts still so badly affected by coronavirus. Bishop Libby has particularly asked us to think of the many thousands of people who are suffering in India. We praise God for those teams of people who, each with their own skills, training, and diverse experiences, work together to bring relief, hope, and healing in emergency situations. We pray that the much needed oxygen and other medical supplies and equipment will soon reach those areas of greatest need and help to alleviate further suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those in authority, both nationally and locally. Eternal God, in Christ you make all things new. Guide our nation in the coming days through the inspiration of your Spirit, that understanding may put an end to discord and all bitterness. Give us grace to rebuild bonds of trust, that together all may work for the dignity and flourishing of all, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for those involved in the forthcoming local elections. So let us pray for our local communities, for our homes and our families. And we continue to pray for our Queen and her family, still mourning the loss of Prince Philip. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for your healing touch to rest upon those who are sick, your strength to be felt by those who are tired, your wisdom and your love to encourage those who live in fear or despair. Merciful God, we entrust to your tender care all those who are ill or in pain, knowing that whenever danger threatens, your everlasting arms are there to hold them safe. Comfort and heal them, and restore them to health and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we remember the souls of those recently departed and pray for those who are saddened by their passing. Especially this week, we pray for much-loved members of our communities who are now at rest in your eternal presence. Be with those who are bereaved in their loneliness and give them the faith to look beyond their present troubles to your Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and who lives forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, whatever today may hold, whatever tomorrow might bring, the future is secure. For Christ is with us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. May we live each moment with him in quiet confidence and joyful celebration, for he is ours and we are his for all eternity. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We bring our prayers together by saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. And now we sing our final hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. find that song both challenging and comforting. And may we all listen to God's voice calling, whether he's calling in the night or calling in the day. Help us to listen to his voice during this coming week. And let each one of us hold God's people in our hearts. We close now with a prayer. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.